Welcome to Underdog Stuff, live radio show and podcast, always here on Sundays at noon to 1 p.m. on WACR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. It's an underdog's perspective on the news and the culture from all the unangles, the unavoidable, the unbelievable, the unjust, the unsaid, the underrated, a bunch of underdog stuff. And as always, to take you on that journey, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur and into all things underdog stuff. And I'm joined in studio today by, we're going to call her the intern producer, Terry Lynn Crawford, a.k.a. TLC. She is the creator and co-host of the Tea Room podcast. Go check that out. And she's an aspiring talk radio show host. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Cool. And every episode, Underdog Stuff, you know what we do. We're going to get into the unavoidable news, the under the week. We got an underdog spotlight. And we're going to end the show with a special segment, Unpredictable Predictions, because a new year's here, and so we're going to talk about it. Get ready for episode 96, Awkward Moments, Straight A's, and Paths to Awakening. I like that title. I do. And you might be thinking, what the heck does all that mean? I guarantee you, before we get out of here, it'll make sense. And we have a special guest today, Ekrem Ibrahim. She is a host, journalist, producer, and she has some bylines that includes being in National Geographic and Newsweek, and she is passionate about bringing the human experience and love to politics. And don't we need more love in politics? Because we don't have a lot of that. Ooh, where to start? You know what? The holidays are still in full effect. A lot of folks came off of celebrating Hanukkah, celebrating Christmas. I personally celebrated Christmas. And as you know, before we got into the holidays, I released an episode called The Five Things to Unlearn During the Holidays. And if you want to check that out, you can go back into the podcast stream. Go to GregoryNeesmith.com. You can check out some of the past episodes. And I talked about things like unlearn. Don't spend money you don't have. A lot of folks out here spending a lot of money they don't have. Don't do it. Also talked about this idea of another thing to unlearn during the holidays. Stop listening to people who ain't on the same path as you. You're going to run into a lot of family and friends during the holidays. And everybody want to give you advice. They're going to be like, Terry Lynn, that's what you should do about your side hustle. And they don't have a side hustle. So that was one of the other ones. Another one was stop dating people you don't like, especially during the holidays, because then you're going to spend money that you don't have on somebody that you don't even like. And there were a couple others, and, you know, we can share those at another time. But something happened to me during the holidays where I'm thinking now there should be a sixth thing to unlearn during the holidays. This is real stuff. This really happened to me. And I'm not going to use the woman's name because I don't want to incriminate her. Let's just call her Auntie K. So I run into Auntie K at a little holiday event. Haven't seen her in a little while. So what do? When you see somebody you've seen in a while, your people, you run up to them, give them a pat, So I gave Auntie K a hug. Like, Auntie K, so good to see you. And then Auntie K proceeds to rub my belly. And rub it like, oh, look at you. You've been eating good, putting on some weight. And I'm like, Auntie K, that I've been putting on some weight is not a greeting. That's not how you say hello to somebody when you haven't seen them in a while. I mean, you know, you could have said, like, Merry Christmas. How you been? How you doing? So, shout out to all the underdogs out there. I want to just add a bonus sixth thing to unlearn during the holidays is you put on weight is not a greeting. Can we all agree on that? And also, rubbing people's bellies is not a way you say hello to somebody. I'd have preferred a hug and a pound, not rubbing my belly. Shout out to Auntie K. And shout out to anyone who has done the right thing and not said, hey, but no, wait, good to see you during the holidays. Don't do that. Also, speaking of the holidays, I saw an interesting poll about Christmas. And it was from Harris Polling. And it says 69% of Americans would skip exchanging Christmas gifts if their friends and family agree to it. And 43% of people said they feel pressure by the tradition to spend more than they can afford to during the holidays. I hope you're not one of those people that was doing the most during the holidays. That would be stressful. And it's that awkward moment, too, because now, if you were all stressed out about the holidays, now there's that awkward moment of realizing the poll like this says that your people were also stressed about it, too, and that in the end, y'all could have skipped the whole gift-giving thing and been no stress and just enjoyed some quality time together. And I posted this on the social media during the week, and a couple people responded with their thoughts. One online comment was, it's been time for new traditions anyway. We have been stuck living in outdated modes of operation and stressing ourselves out to try to live up to it. Hashtag time for change.
I agree with that.
Tora says, I let go of holiday stress years ago. Wean my kids by limiting them to four gifts. She says her four gifts she limits her kids to are something you want, something you need, something you wear, and something you read.
That even rhymes. That's Tora. Shout out to you for the the holiday poem and the way to gift give.
And then lastly, Courtney says, I give a few things for the kids. Everybody else gets a hug. I'm feeling that. I'm giving out hugs in 2019. Tara Lynn, you know what you're getting for Christmas 2019?
A hug.
Yup. When Ekram comes in here for coming on the show, and you know what I'm going to say thank you? How I'm going to say thank you to her? What am I going to give her? What am I going to give her? Yes, I'm giving out hugs in 2019. Everybody who listens to the show, you know what I'm giving them? Hugs. Everybody following along on the Facebook Live, hugs. That's what I'm giving them. And speaking of letting go of old ways and bringing in new traditions, shout out to anybody out there who's celebrating Kwanzaa. For those listening to the live show, I believe we're on day five, which is purpose, and there's seven principles to Kwanzaa, but day five is purpose, that our purpose is to build and develop our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. I love that. And for folks who might be wondering what are some of the other principles, there's unity, there's self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, which is day five, day six, creativity, and day seven, faith, to believe with all our heart in our people, parents, teachers, leaders, and righteousness and victory of our struggle. Shout out to the folks who didn't stress themselves over Christmas. Shout out to folks who are celebrating Kwanzaa right now. And shout out to anybody who didn't rub somebody's belly and tell them they look like they're putting on weight. That's not how you say hello to people. And Auntie K, I'm going to get in the gym. I promise. I'm going to get in the gym. All right, switching gears. Other unavoidable news. How many people have an Instagram account and a LinkedIn? Raise your hand. I have a LinkedIn. And how many people know that they're different? You know how I know they're different? Because you do and I do. We post different things on those accounts. There's some things that are on my IG that have never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever going to make it to my LinkedIn. I know I'm not the only one because I know some of y'all personally, and your LinkedIn don't look nothing like your IG. And then on top of that, if we want to take it a step further, your IG stories definitely ain't making it to LinkedIn. They self-destruct in 24 hours, which means you didn't even want people to really see them on Instagram, let alone on LinkedIn. And so there's public stuff, and then there's, you know, private stuff. There's work, and then there's play. But when you're a public figure, if you're somebody like LeBron James, your IG and your LinkedIn kind of don't get to be work and pleasure. They're kind of like all work. They're your brand. They're you. And so what you put on LinkedIn might actually have to be similar to what you put on your IG, or you might end up with an awkward moment like this.
I don't drink no liquor, but I'm smoking no mimosa. Yeah. We been getting that Jewish money. Everything is kosher. Okay.
On your IG, that might be okay, but if you're LeBron James and a public figure, maybe not, because then there's that awkward moment when your fans find out that you listen to hip-hop, that you listen to rap music, and that some of the lines might be a little questionable for some of your listeners. And so it turns out that LeBron James was getting some backlash for that verse I just played, a song by 21 Savage, which mentions, we are getting that Jewish money. Everything is kosher. And it turns out there were some folks who were offended by that, and LeBron James issued an apology that said, apologies for sure if I offended anyone. That's not why I chose to share that lyric. I always post lyrics. That's what I do. I ride in my car. I listen to great music. And that was the byproduct of it. LeBron goes on to say in his apology, so I actually thought that it was a compliment, and obviously it wasn't, through the lens of a lot of people. My apologies. It definitely was not intent, obviously, to hurt anybody. And that's LeBron James letting folks know that he listens to hip-hop, and Also letting folks know that he apologizes if they were offended by that IG story that he posted. Shout out to all the underdogs who have a LinkedIn and an IG. What are your thoughts? You still riding with LeBron? And am I the only one who posts differently on IG and LinkedIn? Matter of fact, now I'm going to start thinking about what songs we play on Underdog Stuff, given that we out here critiquing lyrics like that. I wonder what's going to happen when sometimes someone realizes that the N-word is said in some of these songs. It's Underdogs, let me know. I'm, you know, shout out to LeBron for taking the head on, apologizing, and then it sounds like everybody is ready to move on. But LeBron wasn't done, because there's also that awkward moment when LeBron James starts to talk about NFL owners, even though he's a basketball player, but, you know, he obviously is well aware of what's going on with Take a Knee and Colin Kaepernick and other stuff like that. LeBron wasn't done. That awkward moment when LeBron's like, I'm the GOAT on the court and off the court. I got stuff to say, so I'm just going to say it.
I mean, in the NFL, they got a bunch of old, white men owning teams, and they got that slave mentality. And it's like, this is my team. You do what the I tell y'all to do, or we get rid of y'all.
And that's LeBron James. What, has everybody heard some of these stories? LeBron, while you were out there spending too much money on Christmas gifts and while my aunt was rubbing my belly, LeBron James out here just taking race head on in IG stories and on, I believe, an episode that was shared on HBO where you just heard him talking about his perspective on NFL owners. Let me know, after the potentially awkward week that LeBron had, you still rolling with him or not? Terry Lynn, you still rolling with LeBron?
I'm still rolling with him.
Okay. I'm still rolling with him, too. But, you know, let's see what the underdogs out there think. With that, one last story from 2018. It seems that it was hard out here to be a brother or sister. We couldn't even go to barbecues without people making phone calls. We couldn't sell a bottle of water. Shoot, in my hometown of Philly where I grew up, you can't even go to Starbucks without potentially someone making a phone call. And now, unfortunately, an awkward moment isn't even the right description for this disgusting moment, is that it seems like in 2018, we can't even wrestle anymore.
Tonight, the family of a New Jersey high school wrestler is speaking out about what they call the shocking pre-match ultimatum. In a statement, the family of Andrew Johnson expressed gratitude for the overwhelming show of support for their son, arguing that he was under duress and visibly shaken after a referee gave him 90 seconds to either forfeit his match or cut his hair. The Johnson family's attorney now saying the ref, Alan Maloney, showed up late to the match, and when he did evaluate Andrew, he failed to raise any issues with the length of his hair or the need to wear a head covering. Johnson won, but that hasn't stopped the angry outpouring on social media.
So, until I re-listened to the clip just now, I forgot about the part that not only did the ref make this young man cut his hair, dude showed up late. So you're going to show up late, and on top of that, then have this young man Andrew do the unthinkable, and that's not only cut his hair, but cut it in the moment in front of everybody watching. And underdogs, I'm sure everybody is mad at the ref, and we should be. I am. Terry Lynn is. You are. But let me also say, too, I'm mad at the other adults. This wasn't a racist ref and one wrestler having a conversation by themselves, and then the ref proceeds to cut the hair. No, there were other adults in the room. What about the coach? What about the person who cuts his hair? What about his teammates? I'm disappointed that nobody called timeout. And I mean like a literal timeout. Like, okay, cool. You want us to do what? That don't feel right. We need to stop right here and pause until we reach a better decision. And so I just want to say to folks out there, and this is just an underdog tip, one that I've had to learn over the years, it's okay to call timeout. Whether you're having a heated conversation with your significant other, whether you're in a conversation with your manager, whether you're at a wrestling match, if something doesn't feel right, and even though people are pressuring you to do something right away, you just say, hey, Terry Lynn, I need a moment. Let's call for some backup, or let's
let's just think about this before we go any further. Because even though things may seem immediate, they're never as immediate as they think. So, you know, shout out to Andrew, and he actually finished the match, won it. And then if you've ever seen the video, you can tell that even though he won the match, you could tell he felt defeated. And so shout out to that young man for really being an underdog against all the odds. And hopefully something will happen to the ref, but also the other adults who were there will be held accountable too. And just remember, if you're ever in a situation like that, call timeout. Helps. I said I was going to talk about straight A's, and I'm going to talk about it like really, really quick. As most of you know, I shared, I am in the process of going back to college. I want to go finish my undergrad degree. You know, folks talk about New Year's resolutions. I'm not doing any new ones. I still got old ones to finish. I got a New Year's resolution from the 90s that I got on my list. So, you know, I ain't starting any new ones until I get a couple of my old ones off. So that's going to be one of my New Year's resolutions I've been having for like 20-something years, and I'm in the process of checking that one off, and I'm going to finish school. But the cool thing is, and this is the UN of the week, and the UN stands for unreal. And unreally, I don't even know if unreally is really a word, but I just feel like saying it right now because it's like, really? One thing I've learned is that when I go back to school, I'm not going to be as concerned about getting straight A's. Underdog, if you are in school right now, don't listen to this segment, please, because it feels like the wrong advice. But for those who are not in school, you can appreciate this now that you're not in school. That come to find out, getting straight A's is overrated. See students out here running the world. Case in point, look at number 45. Do you think that Donald Trump got straight A's? And look, he runs the world. It's a awkward example, but it's a example. With that, I found in this recent study that research across industries shows that while there's a modest correlation between grades and job performance in the first year or two out of college, after a few years, the difference is trivial. It's more about, you know, not really, it's about finding your fit in the world, about being creative. And just as some background, folks like Steve Jobs, GPA, 2.65. J.K. Rowling, C average at Exeter High School. Martin Luther King only managed 1A while he was at Morehouse. And look how things turned out for him. And lastly, but not least, this tells us that underachieving in school can prepare you for overachieving in life. Like I said, if you're in school right now, don't listen to what I just said. But all that to say that when I go back in 2019, I'm going to look to take in the entire experience, both the people I'll get to meet, the things I'll get to learn about myself and about the world. And so I'm going to look at it as a holistic experience instead of going back to try to get straight A's, which I don't think I was going to do anyway, but now I feel even better about it. We are now at the Underdog Spotlight time of the show, and we have a special guest with us, Akram Ibrahim. She's a host, journalist, and producer. Her bylines include National Geographic and Newsweek, and she's passionate about bringing the human experience and love into politics, and don't we need more of that in politics for sure. But before we get into the conversation with Ekerman, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
No, good to have you here. We just talked about straight A's, and I saw that you left a comment on the Facebook Live. For those who want to actually see Ekerman, you can see her live right now. Go to Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith or Facebook.com/underdogstuff. You just left a comment about straight A's.
Yeah, I really liked what you said about we shouldn't care about getting straight A's because at the end of the day, they don't matter as much as they used to frame it to us. Like, growing up, I thought if I didn't get straight A's, I'll be a loser, blah, blah. But then I already have 2 master's degrees. And during my journey, I realized that we learn from school through other avenues than like the library and books and courses. Courses are definitely very important, but friends, people we meet, their stories, finding our creative outlet, designing our future, working out, having some fun, learning to have a balanced life in spite of like the crushing schedule of school is way more important than just focusing on the straight A.
I'm so glad to hear that because full disclosure, I did not get anywhere near straight A's at any point in school. And look, life turned out okay.
I guess neither I. And I never got like straight A's, no. And I don't wish that to happen. That'll make me a nerd.
Yes. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And speaking of some online comments, we have Danny who says, thank you. I'm watching with my son take on the world of acting with so much guts at 13 while he's maintaining his 65 average in school. Shout out to Danny, and we appreciate your son taking on the world. She says also she loves the show, and Happy New Year, and we say Happy New Year to
happy
her,
new
too.
Happy New Year.
All right, Egrum.
Hey, tell me.
We wanted you here because you have a unique perspective on what's going on in the world, and also you're going to help us talk about the path to awakening, too.
Uh-huh.
With that, though, we're talking underdog stuff, and I always like to ask each guest when they come on, when I say the word underdog to you, what comes to mind?
I believe everyone is an underdog in some way, in some shape, at some point in their journey. Everyone heard the words, you're not good enough, or you're not beautiful enough, or you are not smart enough, or you didn't get the straight A's, or you didn't win, or you didn't go to the right school, or maybe you were born in the wrong country, or under the wrong religion. So many not enough, and so many as if we're not worthy unless we get more things, you know? And so that's like, I believe like every one of us in a certain point or at some time, and then we start to do the work and we work hard and we say, no, I'm good enough and I'm even more than good enough and you have to stop talking. And this is when the game changes and flips and you become the top dog.
I love it. Top dog. And you're a top dog.
I'm an underdog.
Yes, you are. And you're on your way to becoming a top dog. Now, with that, we've known each other for a couple years, followed you on social media. And I feel like this year, I saw you on social media. And then I felt like that I didn't see you at all. And then all of a sudden, I see you every day now. Where did you go before you started being on there every day?
Okay. I did a couple of things. I was doing my master's degree in public administration. And during that time, I wanted to really give it my all, like focus, meet new people, have new friends, study hard, know what I want to do in my life.
Get straight A's?
No, don't ask me, because that would be embarrassing on air, you know? And just like be fully immersed in the experience. So that was part of the year. And then the second part of the year was, I graduated in June, was just self-searching of, okay, what is next? What do I want to bring to the world? And reflecting on what you said earlier, time out. So that was like really brilliant because I did not feel that I am ready to jump into something right away. I did not feel that that is the right thing. Yes, I kept pursuing some opportunities, but in my heart, I knew that this was not it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And really respecting and honoring that and saying, oh, I need time out. And I remember I also posted on Facebook at the time and I said, silence is a birthright. And I wrote, it is my right to take some time to be silent, and I'm not responding to phone calls and I'm not being social. I'm just spending time by myself to like dig deep and process what happened over the year in school. And I guess that served me hell a lot, yes.
Well, welcome back. And just for underdogs out there, you mentioned that you felt like it was okay finally to have some silence, take some time. How did you know it was time for a change?
That's a good question. I guess when things don't work out, when they keep not working out, like there is no progress, like I applied maybe for over 40 jobs. I don't know how many emails I wrote and how many LinkedIn private messages I have written and just how many events I went to, like how much time I spent looking and searching for what's next, but nothing is coming through. I believe, like, I have this belief that the universe works with you, not against you. So if all doors all of a sudden are closing over 6 months and it's not like a new job I'm pursuing, maybe that happens when you're pursuing something new, so the world has to, you know, get to know you more. But I was just pursuing the same thing, like journalist producer, something I've done for over like 11 years. So this told me there is something wrong. Like, there is something wrong here. That is one. That's, like, on the outer world. In the inner world, I felt I was grieving the 1 year of school. I was processing 1 year. Like, it was a huge experience for me because it was, like, Harvard Kennedy School. It was 220 people from all over the world. So the experience was so intense. It wasn't just studying.
I just want to pause for a second. Underdogs, we even get to show up at places like Harvard.
Yeah, we do.
We get to be there too.
Yeah.
We may not get straight A's, but we're going to show up there and show out.
Yeah, it will show up wherever we set the intention to do and do the work to get there. I believe in that. So I was processing that. So emotionally, I wasn't like in my best space. So neither emotionally nor outside world. So I had to like surrender and accept that this is my timeout.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And underdogs out there, if you're feeling like you're on repeat and things keep happening over and over and over again, it might be a sign that it's time for a change. And I love that you had this perspective that the 40 jobs not working out wasn't that there was something wrong. It was almost like, oh, this is giving me space and time to go do something else.
Don't get me wrong. I also said there's something wrong with me. And then I learned also to shut those voices. So I did both.
Fair enough. And that's true. They both do happen. And you didn't let it stop you. Now, we talked about that you were on social media, then you took your break, and then you came back. And now, literally, I see you on every day. And I enjoy seeing you on there every day. Why are you on social media literally every day and on Facebook Live?
Okay, so I started a series on Facebook called The Path to Awakening, and it's a 30-day challenge for me to show up and share my lessons or the wisdom that I have learned along the years. I believe I'm a person who's an underdog, who went through a lot of trauma and troubles, and life wasn't just easy. I also immigrated to the U.S. 6 years ago, so imagine I'm an immigrant, I'm Egyptian, I'm Muslim, so everything was just closing doors or like not as easy.
Literally closing doors.
Yeah.
And borders and travel bans.
Yeah, imagine. So my journey was not easy, and I heard a lot of people telling me, so how did you immigrate? How did you break from culture norms? How did you get into Harvard? Or how are you a journalist?
I want to know how you got into Harvard too.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. How did you, how are you so mindful and grounded? Because I meditate every day and I have this spiritual side of mine. So answering those questions, and so I created this series to answer those questions and to challenge myself, because it is on my heart to like host my show and share my those stories and interview people and speak. It has been on my heart for like, I'd say 6 years or longer. Like, I immigrated to make that dream happen, you know, but I never did, and I never even did it in a casual way, like online. So I wanted to challenge myself just to do it and show up and not wait until it is complete and perfect, because that does not exist. And this is my message to all your listeners.
Yeah, if you're waiting for that right moment, it's right now.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to both Ekrem and Terry Lynn, both aspiring talk radio or TV and host. And I'm just happy to be surrounded by both of you right now. Because you're doing it.
Oh, thank you.
You're just early in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So you've been doing, what day are you on now of the Path to Awakening?
Today will be my 25th day. So we're almost over.
Oh my God, 25 times. What's something you've learned about yourself during those 25 days so far, during this Path to Awakening, sharing yourself with the world?
That's a good question. I guess I learned that showing up is very important. So some days I woke up, okay, I didn't feel like super ready, full on to do the live, right? Like every one of us. And the question was, should I do the live or not? And the answer was, yeah, absolutely, you promised.
Yes.
But then what I learned is that you just like need to do some rituals or some things to take you there. So I shower, go to the gym, do yoga, like sometimes just dance in the apartment just to shift my energy and do it. So I believe showing up, and this is something sometimes we don't do, is the biggest lesson, and learning that could be sometimes enough.
And even on the days where you maybe didn't feel like doing it, how did the show end up, or the live end up working out on some of those days where you didn't feel like doing it, but you did it anyway?
Absolutely perfect. Like, it was really good, because when I didn't feel like showing up, I did not just open the camera and spoke. When I didn't feel like showing up, I did what I know helps me get grounded and get in the zone and the creative zone. So it is not just a matter of opening a camera or getting your pen and writing or getting on a call or just doing the action. It is about asking yourself, what can take me there? You know, is it talking to a friend? Sometimes I just call a friend and process with her, or go to the gym again, as I say, or meditate or dance. Do whatever it takes to take you there, but just don't quit.
Yeah, persistence, consistency, showing up. That is definitely one of the keys. I remember the phrase sometimes, commitment over feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of times when we may not feel like doing something. I think parenting is one of the great examples, right? I'm sure there's days when our parents didn't feel like doing a lot of things, but they were committed to being a parent and raising us. So I really appreciate that perspective. With that, 30 days, Path to Awakening, the New Year's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of folks who are going to be writing New Year's resolutions. They're going to be New Year, New Me. What would you share with the underdogs listening right now who are in this space of getting ready for the new year, but then they just heard this awesome thing about a path to awakening, which might be even deeper and more meaningful than just a list of resolutions? What would you say to folks about how they can get on their path to awakening?
So the path to awakening, what does that mean? It means the path to knowing that you are powerful enough to make the impossible possible. And those are not just words, it is work. Those are strategies, methodologies, learning the law of nature, applying them. So it is work. It's also studying the folks who are your heroes, the leaders out there. I read a lot of biographies to learn what they do, what they don't do, what are their habits, how do they spend their days. And this is the path to awakening. It just helps you get on that, you know. So for someone who is looking to start their path, I would say, number one, just tune into your heart. What is there? Like, what is really, really, really on your heart? What do you want to get done this year? What do you want to get done at least this month, today? Like, take it step by step. Doesn't have to be crazy. Is it just working out and feeling like sexy and strong? That's good enough of a goal. Just go do it. And don't make the goal of like losing X number of pounds. Make it about how you feel. Tune into your heart. Why are you looking to lose or drop those amount of pounds? Do you want to start to be more creative in your work and just like get bored of like this dull job every day, showing up to the same office, doing the same thing, meeting the same people? Start by this creative path and promise yourself and commit to something. Just write, I don't know, draw, dance, act, do it every day until it either grows into your parallel path and your full-time job or not. But at least you will allow yourself the joy of enjoying this creativity and being in the flow and being you and moving from the robot lifestyle, because this kills us all.
Yeah.
If you feel one big tools of the path to awakening is to stop the distractions. Don't do something because you have to or because you are so shy to say no. Just follow your heart with kindness and grace. You will not lose people when you're kind, graceful, when you explain why, when you say, this is happening to me and that's why I need time out or I need to focus on myself. People love you. The people around you love you. And if they don't, I don't think you want them around you anyways. Happy New Year.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Tell them, Ekram. Also, just to your point about working out to feel sexy and stuff like that, folks who listened earlier, I'm going to work out so that my Auntie Kay doesn't rub my belly next time she sees me after the holidays. Also, you mentioned something about putting in the work. I just want you to confirm for me, I think this is true. Underdogs, I want you to know, we don't do quick fixes over here. So, the work, is it going to only take 30 days?
Oh, hell no.
Okay, I just wanted them to know that it's not, you don't do the 30 days after awakening and you're like, cool, by January 27th, I'm gonna be all good.
No, wait. The path to awakening has been my journey that started 8 years ago. So it is the work of 8 years. Actually, in a few months, it's going to be 9 years. I started 2010. So it is never 30 days. It is your life. It's how you choose to show up every day. It's your habits. It's the people you talk to. It's your intentions. It's your heart, your values, what you bring to the world. It's never 30 days.
Thank you for giving some perspective to folks. I don't want them to think that they can just snap their fingers in 30 days it's going to be all good. It's going to get better, but it's a journey.
It's a starting point.
Yes. Now, with that, has the 30 days been all work and no play?
Never.
Cool. It's got to have some play, right?
Obviously, like, every day I have to play sometimes.
Yes. And speaking of play, guess what? We're going to do a little play, too.
All right.
We're going to play 2019 Unpredictable Predictions because a new year's starting. And while we're on our path to awakening and getting things right, it's also good to just talk about what's going to be happening in the world. Are you two ready to play a quick game of Unpredictable 2019 Predictions?
Yes.
Yes.
Cool. And for everybody out there, we don't really know what's going to happen, but it's fun to talk about it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Five predictions for 2019. Number one.
So wait, what do we get if I predicted right?
If you were listening earlier, the gifts that I'm giving out all year are hugs.
Oh my God. So I have to like come here again and see you and you give me a hug?
Yes. Yeah. It's like... It's better than over, you know, spending money we don't
have. You're right. That is love.
Yes.
So I agree. That is aligned with my path to awakening.
Awesome. If you get the questions right, you get to come back and we're giving out hugs. Underdogs, we're hugging in 2019. That's a prediction that for sure is going to happen. All right. Number one, politics. For real, for sure or unlikely, Donald Trump will resign as president of the United States. Terry Lynn.
Very unlikely.
Fair enough. Ekram.
Very unlikely. Can I say why?
Yes.
Because this man blames everyone else for everything that is happening, right? The Democrats for the kids that have died the past few days. Even the wildfires in California a few months ago, he was like, yeah, maybe they're not just taking care of the parks. So he's used to blame other people for everything that is happening. So why would he resign?
That's true. I think he's going to ride it till the wheels fall off. And I just don't think that this year is going to be the year. I think if something really would have come up about a high crime misdemeanor, we would have heard about it by now. And I think he's going to stay in until 2020. And guess what? If he ran for election right now, 40% of Americans said they would vote for him if he ran for re-election right now.
Wow.
So we'll see. All right. Speaking of politics and who could be next as president, for sure, unlikely, Michelle Obama is going to announce in 2019 that she's running for president. She's becoming the next POTUS. Terry Lynn?
I'm going to say unlikely because she stated, I think, on one of her book tours that she doesn't want to run for president. And she said also that she's happy that she's married to someone who's passionate about politics, but that's not where she wants to go.
Okay. All right.
I would say unlikely.
All right. Ekram?
Unlikely, so I want my hug.
I think a hug definitely coming from Michelle. She's not running. And we did an IG poll, and shout out to all the folks who participated on the IG poll. And I believe 89% of people said that it is unlikely. There's still 11% of people out there who are just holding out hope. I hate to break it to you. She's not running. All right. Number three, Travis Scott is going to perform at the Super Bowl. And you're like, who's Travis Scott?
Young the Flame here in sicko mode.
That's Travis Scott, because I had to look up Travis Scott. Is he running? I mean, running. Is he going to perform at the Super Bowl? And is he running for president?
He's going to be performing, very likely, because he is now into the Kardashian family, so they would do anything for money. So I see
and
that.
Attention.
And attention.
All right, see, I did not even, I didn't know that he was part of the Kardashian crew.
Yes.
Ekram.
Okay, so full disclosure, this is for me all Chinese, but I'm going to say yes, only because I like his songs.
Fair enough. And we shall see. It turns out that there's been several folks who've said no to performing at the Super Bowl. Cardi B, Andre 3000, Usher, Mary J. Blige, Nicki Minaj, Rihanna, Jay-Z. So we'll see. Maybe he will actually do it. All right, two more before we get out of here. In 2019, Terry Lynn, you will get engaged. For sure, unlikely.
Very unlikely. But I'm going to take a lesson from our guest and say love. I'm going to pray for love in 2019, but I don't see it happening.
Okay, so for sure love,
yes.
Unlikely engaged.
Correct.
Ekram? Drum roll, please. I got to get a drum roll with sound.
I guess unlikely.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to say I haven't answered any of these yet, have I? Maybe I'll do that.
This is the one
here.
You want to answer.
I want my hug. I'm going to say unlikely, but only unlikely because in terms of things that I'm declaring for the year, getting engaged hasn't made the list. I would like love and a relationship, but I don't. This isn't the year that I put down that I'm going to get engaged. So it's just not what's going to happen this year. But 2020 is actually when I want to get engaged. That's when it's going
to
happen.
But I also like to believe that you never know.
And we said that earlier, too. Underdogs, we don't know what's going to happen. And anybody tells you that does, they don't. We're just honest enough to tell you we actually don't know. All right, last but not least, 2019 is going to be your best year yet. Terry Lynn, tell them.
I would say unlikely because because I don't want to put a cap on my growth. So I'm going to say it's going to be a better year than 2018, but not my best year.
But that's why I changed the word to best year yet.
Yet? Okay.
Yet.
I'm going to still go with unlikely.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, I would say absolutely.
Everyone gets a hug.
I have never been happier, more in flow, more creative, more ready in my life. So absolutely.
Very cool. It's almost time for the big close to the show. And I want to say thank you, Ekram, for joining today's Underdog Spotlight and Unpredictable Predictions.
Thank you for having me. I'm really, really excited.
Yes, indeed. With that, though, I want folks to know how can they get more Ekram, because they should want more Ekram in their life.
Well, I want more of them in my life. So I am on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram with the same handle, Ekram Ibrahim, which is E-K-R-A-M and then I-B-R-A-H-I-M. I prefer Facebook, actually, but I am present on all three platforms, and I would love to chat with all of you.
I love that. And Terry Lynn, a.k.a. TLC, how can folks get in touch with you?
They can tweet us at the Tea Room Podcast. You can find us on Facebook and also iTunes. Please subscribe if you can. Thank you.
Shout out to the Tea Room. Terry Lynn, creator and co-host of that show and aspiring talk radio show host. Appreciate having you in the building. Also, I'd like to say thank you to everybody who tuned in to episode 96. Special shout out to all the online comments and to Ekram and Terry Lynn being in the building. Shout out to the live show producer, Megan, and our podcast editor, Kayla. Live show Sundays, podcast Monday. You can go to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play and search Underdog Stuff to check out the podcast. And if you want to stay up on things I'm doing in the world and Underdog Stuff, just go to GregoryNeesmith.com and click subscribe and you'll get the weekly newsletter. With that, as always, I'm going to leave you with my favorite quote. And if you listened to the show before, you know what that favorite quote is. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.